Hello there and welcome to Geopol Talks. My name is Franklin Kibwata. Today, we speak to one of the finest data professionals I know. Brian Kiprop is the data processing manager at Geopol, and today he will be taking us through the very important work that Geopol does with the data collected to make it the decision-making driver that Geopol data normally is. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today, Brian. Let's dive right in. So, who is Brian?
Thank you, Frank. My name is Brian Kiprop. I'm the data processing manager within the research team within Geopol. According to my Twitter profile, I'm a data nerd, tech enthusiast, statistician, RStudio Tidyverse trainer, and book lover. That is the political definition of who I am. But otherwise, on my personal blog, I'm a person who has mental journeys, shuttling between utopia, dystopia, and bordering paranoia. I'm in love with data. I believe the world revolves it. I'm in the right era. Over and above, I do love reading books, and I formulate a hypothesis based on books that I read. And in a nutshell, talk to me about data and anything to do with data.
Wow, that's quite an introduction. In the years we've worked together, I knew you were the go-to guy for data analysis and similar questions, but I did not know about your blogging prowess. I'm making it a point to go look for your blog and see what you write about.
Caveat. The last time I posted was in October 2020. I got my son on November 2020, and that is how it stopped.
No, that's fine. There's a saying where I come from that anything that is written down is like prayer. It doesn't get wasted. So hard as you fear it to be, your content should still be interesting and helpful to someone. So you are in the research department. Do take us through briefly, what does the research department do within Geopol?
So research department, ideally in other organizations, might be classified as a data processing team or a data analysis team. So our main core is the data analysis, but we step into realms that deal with survey design, sampling, and moving on to the tail end of data research, which is analysis and reporting where need be. Over and above, 90% of our work is data analysis, cleaning and marking data to what fits best the study objectives.
Amazing that research is involved in pretty much the entire process of a study journey, like right from formulating the questions to monitoring the survey in the market to the actual processing.
Just to stop you there, Franklin, yes, we do help when it comes to formulating the questionnaire, but it's not really our mainstay, but it is in the research design. So research design here, we mean about sampling, which research methodology we will be using, exploratory type of, I won't want to go so statistical, but there are things called experiments of design. So there are various research designs that one can implement. So, yeah.
Thanks for that clarification. And during the time a survey is out in the field, are you very involved in how the data collection is going?
Yes, we do get involved as the research team, because basically we are the custodians of any data that is collected. What we do, we sense check the data as it streams in. We do interim data checks whereby we are able to ascertain all the parameters that are being asked and are being responded to. And if there is deviation to what would be market knowledge, we assist our point of contact, either internally or externally within the organization, just to mention that we are noticing deviations. At times, the deviations might be coming out of country or market dynamics that are happening there and then. So, classic example, there was a study we were running towards the tail end of December 2021 in South Sudan, and then there was a breakout of violence. So we had to change tact in terms of how data is collected and when we'll be receiving data. Yes, so we get really involved in the day-to-day runnings as the survey is ongoing during the field from a data point of view. That means you're handling the data and what is streaming in, not the live collections on the ground. We just receive and do our analysis and interim checks prior.
Thank you. Interesting. So you don't want to surprise yourself with bad data when it eventually reaches your desk. Now, once you've received the data, that is where you guys really come in. So let's say we've ran and closed off a survey. What do you do with the data?
First of all, is we go through the questionnaire fresh, look at the questions that were asked, and then compare the responses we have received from the survey and what was asked, ascertain and confirm, verifying that it is what was meant to be asked and it was received. We do a bit of cleaning here and there, but I will discuss that later. But overall, is just doing an overall overview of whether all questions were asked the way they were asked. If the survey had recordings and in a language that we could understand, at times we tend to listen to the recordings, but mainly our focus is just a comparison between the questionnaire and the data we have received.
Yeah, and then you start the data processing.
Yep. Now that is where much of the work goes into, in terms of data processing. So data processing here will encompass multiple facets. One, depending on the nature of platform that we have used, internally we have multiple modes of data collection, be it SMS, be it mobile web data collection or IVR. So we need to reformat and realign data into a structure that can be easily be analyzed internally. So one part of data processing is restructuring. The second part comes in data cleaning. So data cleaning here comes into different spheres. Data cleaning is checking for missing data. Why is it missing? Is it that our system prefilled it differently and we need to go back to the original response that was given, clean it out, response instances in regards to cases that we need to drop, if any. And here, the final step now moves into analysis. Analysis here is depending on the different nature of survey and the requirements that are required based on the data analysis plan. We are able now to do the analysis in retrospect and probably thinking around it. Data cleaning takes 80% of the work that we do, because there's a lot of iterations, confirmations, redo, rework, and recoding that is required. But over and above, those are the main key three steps that we undertake when we are doing data processing.
Let's talk a bit about data cleaning. The reality is that the sanctity of data can have a huge impact on the reliability and validity of the final data. And cleaning data ensures that you are using the highest quality data to perform your analysis. Now, I know that Geopol is very keen on the quality of data so that clients can get clean, actionable data. Could you tell us a bit more about how you go about the data cleaning process, the steps?
So Just to take you back, when it comes to data cleaning, there are steps that are done prior that might not really involve us doing the data cleaning, but during questionnaire formulation, these what ideally would help in data cleaning and might not be classified as data cleaning, but I believe helps your data so that it reduces the workload when you're doing data cleaning. So I'll still classify it as data cleaning. During questionnaire formulation, there are those skip logic routines that are implemented from the questionnaire. So for example, if you are asking a question whether someone is pregnant, prior to that, you should ask their gender first, so that if need be, you'll skip the question. If they're male, you'll skip the question on whether they're pregnant or not. So such things help in terms of data cleaning prior, during data collection itself, so that respondents, as they give the answer, they're easily routed to questions that are relevant to them and they accurately answer. So that is step one. So during questionnaire design, the second phase is now, once we have collected the data, we have the data, there are key certain parameters that we check. Our sample sizes need to be checked first and ensure that we met the overall sample size that was required for the study, plus an extra buffer. We do around 10 to 15% extra buffer, so that when we are cleaning data and we need to remove cases, we account for that. So overall, we just check, did we hit our target? So if you are looking for a sample of 100, do we have 110 or 115? The next step is just looking for old timers, flatliners, or just since checking the data such that where if it is a Likert scale question where there are multiple Likert questions that are following each other, we just verify and see what is the trend for each respondent. Does it flatline such that most of them are edged towards picking the higher score number or the lower score number? This could be valid. So we check across the matrix and see how the deviation is. Is this single user an outlier or not? So we create a threshold of outliers based on flatlining. So we just like up skills and a collection of questions depending on the survey questionnaire. That is the next step that we do. Another step that we preempt and look at is how long does the questionnaire take? There are standard protocols on how long a questionnaire should take. So depending on the questionnaire, we have an internal benchmarks that we use. So did the survey meet the minimum time it requires and did not exceed the maximum time it requires? This varies from mode to mode. So that is part of our data cleaning. We decide which cases to keep. The next phase is now looking at question by question and looking at the consistency, coherency of the response at an overall level and at a respondent level. So, for example, we don't expect you to mention things that contradict each other within the questionnaire. So that is part of data cleaning. Some of it is done automatically via software. Others are a bit manual. So, for example, open-ended questions where you have to read verbatim. As much as we can try to automate it, at times you're forced just to go in and read the inputs that have been placed. In a nutshell, that is the process that goes on within data cleaning.
Great. That is quite elaborate. So given how many steps those are, I wonder if it's possible to get errors in the final data. And if you do get errors, what happens?
When you talk about errors, there are different levels of errors. There could be an imputational error, whereby either if it was a face-to-face study and the enumerator keyed in something that was not what the respondent mentioned, that is an error during imputation. So that needs to be cleaned out. So from the recording, you can hear clearly this person said yes, but whatever was inputted in the data is a no. So that is one set of level of error. There are certain errors that arise from what I've just mentioned previously, where two similar or somewhat same questions have divergent responses. So this is a respondent level error, whereby at times we are forced to drop such cases. And finally, now three errors that arise from the overall survey. So what are these errors that arise from the overall survey? Such errors arise arising from overall sample survey is when we have aggregated the response and do the analysis, and we end up having a female skew, where else the study was a national representative study where we expect for a specific country, the distribution should match the national representativeness of the study. So that means either during data collection, there's a certain adherence that did not happen. So part of cleaning also looks at the errors that arise and their different levels of error from imputation, respondent, and just overall responses from the research study.
Interesting. And yeah, enough about errors. I'm pretty sure that no, most of the data the data that we produce is indeed clean. So given the various data cleaning layers that you've taken us through.
So as a statistician, there's always a margin of error. There's no way you can be devoid of error. You always give a margin of error, no? At 5% in everything. So give or take. That error is always part of any survey that you undertake.
Plus or minus 5%. I hear
you. So it varies. It varies between studies and studies. But yes, being a statistician and dealing with probabilities, I always account for the probability and chance of having an error is always valid.
That makes a lot of sense. How about data outputs? What are the various types of output and which ones are the most common at Geopol?
So different clients have different requests, but the most common data outputs that we provide is Excel data at raw level, so case-by-case data. The assumption here is such data is you can be able to import to various software analysis platform. So if the client will be doing the analysis on their own, that is one. Even the tables that we generate from our analysis are pasted in Excel so that if need be, the reporting is easily done from the aggregated Excel data and it is easily shared. Then again, Excel is more universal and can be easily shared across different people, whether technical or non-technical, and they'll be able to see it. So that is one, the Excel data and exact analysis table the data, which would be more close to pivot tables, but we automatically generate this and may not be exactly a pivot table, but similar to pivot tables. So that is one. We also do share data outputs in majority of the top tier software formats, analysis formats. So we do share data in SPSS, we do share data in Stata, and we do share data in SAS dataset formats. So basically, these are datasets that can go and be analyzed using those specific softwares. As the most common, but we do get interesting data requests and data delivery output formats, which are slightly different. This, I'm talking about raw data. We are able to share ASCII level data, share this multiple times with different clients who request for that. And of late, we've been sending data via APIs so that clients are able to just query the API and get their data. And this, the best part about having data on APIs, it is it's continuous and can be queried anytime and plugged into, now since this has become universal, any software out there.
So what I'm getting is that the data output depends on the client, and we do have
a couple of options. I've counted close to 10 different ways that we give client data, depending on who the client is and what they are, and what their needs are.
Yes.
Great. Now, I think we have really dived in, and we could put a comma at this point and have another episode at another time. But you mentioned that you're on social media. Which social networks are you in, and can we follow you?
So, predominantly on Twitter. So for me, Twitter is a learning space. Yeah. So I tend to follow a lot of people who interest me within the space of data science and data analytics in Twitter. So that is where you can for sure find me anytime. And the rest, interestingly, I'm not on Instagram, I'm not on TikTok. I guess that says my age, but yes, neither am I active on Facebook.
But so you're on LinkedIn.
But I'm on LinkedIn. Yes, I am on LinkedIn.
So that's Brian Kiprop across all the channels.
Yes. So no, for Twitter, it's Yobra_QPROP. Well, you can. that is my actual handle. But otherwise, if you just type in Brian space QPROP, you'll find me there. My blog is qprop.me, which is linked to my other social medias. Yeah.
We will definitely go in there and see the amazing things that you're doing for the world. Thanks a lot. That was very, very informative. I totally enjoyed myself, and I hope to see you back on Geopol Talk soon.
Yes, we should come back and have a chat. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, and see you around.
See you, Frank.
There you have it. Research and data processing within Geopol is a well-oiled machine that produces excellent data for truly data-driven decisions. Learn more about Geopol on www.geopol.com and follow us on social media at Geopol on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook to access research tips from our experience and exclusive research reports. Thanks for listening to Geopol Talks. Until next time, bye-bye.